Praise the Lord. Well, if you got your Bible, I want you to start in Acts chapter 2. Pastor Hagin this morning was talking about types and shadows, and it got me thinking about something. I've been kind of, just kind of meditating on the word for myself and looking at some different things. And, in these days, I praise God, we've kind of had a return to some of the teachings that I heard when I first got started over 38 years ago, about what Jesus has done and what he has accomplished. And I think sometimes that if we're not careful, we let these things slip. Peter said, stir up yourselves. I'm stirring you up. As long as I'm in this body, I'm going to stir your pure minds, to remember these things and to remember that Jesus, there's not going to be another Messiah come. He is it, right? And there's not going to be another redemptive plan. He is the plan. There's not going to be another bloodshed. He has shed it. Amen. There's not going to be another work done. He has worked it. Yes. And so there's some things that that talk about him that point us to Jesus, types and shadows. I kind of want to look at that tonight and show us something here maybe you hadn't thought of. And just another thing to add, if you will, to the cornerstone. He is the cornerstone, but adding stones to our foundation of our life. Amen. Just to keep adding those stones of revelation and truth. Glory to God. Here in Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Let's see here. 322. I'm sorry. 322. I had the wrong chapter. I looked at that and that didn't make sense. So this one does. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. Now he's talking here, and you go back in the context, he's talking about Jesus here. Peter's preaching, talked about how Jesus was sent by God and came and preached to us. And he said he is the fulfillment of what Moses said, that a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your own of your brethren, like unto me. Everybody say, like unto me. So Moses is a type here of the prophet that's to come, and we know that prophet is Christ, Jesus Christ. Look over in Acts chapter 7. So you can say that, now, you got to be careful. You can't take every single little thing that happens in the life of Moses and try to match it to something in the life of Christ. But the major things that are mentioned in the Bible, there are lessons there for us to learn. Does that make sense to you? Lessons for us in that. Now here in Acts 7, verse 37, this is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall you hear. So here's a second time that a quotation of this passage from Deuteronomy chapter 18, where it's recorded that Moses said that the Lord was going to raise up a prophet, that God, Jehovah God, would raise up a prophet like unto Moses. Now, what do we know that Moses did? Well, he was raised up to be the deliverer of the children of Israel, was he not? He was God's instrument that brought Israel out of bondage to Egypt. Okay? Now, let's look over in 1 Corinthians, if you would please, chapter 10. I'm kind of looking forward to see where this message goes because, amen, there's some things here on my heart, and I hope you believe in God with me tonight, right? We'll get out what the Lord wants to say tonight. We want to read these scriptures to start with, though, here. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant. Everybody say it right now. I will not be ignorant. There's several places where Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant of this. Okay, well, then ignorant means you haven't heard, you don't know. Okay, well, we're not to be ignorant or ignorant, as they say in some parts of this country. How many of you grew up with that? You ignorant? All right, never mind. I guess that was just me. How that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Now, you remember that pillar of cloud that would show up during the daytime with the children of Israel. that cloud of God's presence that would show there. And then at nighttime, what happened? Pillar of fire. Well, how many of you know in the land that they were in the daytime, you need a cloud, right? You need some day. Well, at nighttime, though, it gets cold, so you need a fire. But God's presence was with them. There's a place where God, where Moses said, God, if your presence goes not with us, we're not going. Or we're not moving until that cloud moves. We're not moving until that pillar of fire moves, okay? And so here he talks about the cloud, but he also talks about passing through the sea. Now let's read on here. I want to read down through verse 11, then we'll come back here. And he did all eat the same spiritual meat, that manna that came down, did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be idolaters as were some of them, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000 or 23,000 people. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither should you murmur, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now these things happened unto them for examples, or I have a little note in my Bible that says for figures, you could say type or types. These things happen for a type for us, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now, note these things that we find then in the Old Testament, these stories of Moses, of the cloud, of them passing through the sea, which we're going to look at in more detail, of what took place as they were fed the manna, all the different things are written to us for examples. In other words, they're written as types of what we're going to go through today and what happened in Christ, because Moses is a type of Christ. But they're written for our admonition. In other words, to admonish us, to teach us, right? All scripture is given by inspiration of God, right? And it's profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. So these scriptures, I know we had a student here a few years ago, bless his heart. He was bragging about how he'd never read the Old Testament, never read anything in the Old Testament. I'm in the New Testament, I'm in the New Covenant, I don't need anything in the Old Testament. I asked him one day, I said, did you read that scripture? Well, I said, let me ask you a question then. When Paul told Timothy all scripture is given by inspiration of God, was there anything but the Old Testament at that time? No. I said, it sounds like you're the ignorant one. Not all of us that have been reading the Bible. Now, sometimes when you're the dean, you can talk to people like that, all right? I don't necessarily suggest if they're students. But I got my point across to him, helped him out a little bit, bless his heart. Not too long ago, I did get a message from him and say, hey, I've been reading some of the Old Testament. I thought, well, praise the Lord. Amen. Help him, Lord. Help him, Lord. But all these things happened here as, for example. So I want us to look at what example, what can we learn from the children of Israel passing through the sea? All right. So let's go back to Exodus 14. Now, you know, if you grew up in the time that I grew up in ministry, especially with children, you know, we know what you learn from Exodus 14 and 15. You learn the horse and rider song, right? Oh, come on. How many of you have never heard the horse and rider song? Let me see your hands. Am I going to have to edumacate people here? Oh, we sang this song incessantly with these kids, all right? I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and rider thrown into the sea. All right, just over and over and over. At one time I had a puppet. What did I call that puppet? Freddy. I had this puppet called Freddy. He was the world's fastest memory verse quoter. And I would get up there and it was a hand puppet. I put my hand in here, you know, and we'd work the puppet. And I had a free hand in this other cloth thing. And I had squirt guns. I had everything back there. You know, those kids would come up and I'd squirt them. A couple times we went to churches and did children's conferences, and I'd always want to race the pastor. Well, I really wanted to soak the pastor real good. Pastor come, boy, I'd just unload that big, you know what I'm talking about, that big soaker, super soaker. Just unload it on the pastor, you know. Okay? He's the only one I ever tried to beat. I always let the kids beat me in it. But Freddie would, he would sing the song, you know, and got it, you know, instead of thrown into the sea, threw up in the sea, all kinds of different, you know, just making it all kinds of crazy things. But that's not our point tonight, all right? So let's pick up in verse 1. Now, children of Israel, they've come out of Egypt here. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before that town between Migdol and the sea over it against Baal Zephon. Before it shall you encamp by the sea. Talking about the Red Sea. Now let me stop right now and just say this. There's scholars, you know, they want to say, well, the Red Sea was only ankle deep. Glory to God. All of Pharaoh's horsemen, all the horses, all of his army, they drowned in ankle deep water. God did a miracle. Just a thought. All right. For Pharaoh will say to the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, and wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Now see, here we have the Lord, Jehovah God, talking to Moses, who is a type of who? Christ, type of Jesus Christ, right? Jesus is the prophet raised up like unto Moses, yet he is the prophet, right? He's the Messiah, the Christ, okay? Now, Pharaoh here represents the devil. And Egypt and the Egyptians represent all the oppression that had happened unto the children of Israel over 400 years of bondage. Everything, any type of oppression whatsoever, that's who they represent here, okay? So now, to get the picture, the children of Israel, they've marched out, you know, we know this from other stories. They'd spoiled the Egyptians. They'd taken silver and gold with them from them. They let them go because of the different plagues that had happened. But God wasn't finished with the ultimate defeat of Egypt yet. All right? There's one last thing that's going to take place. Okay? And so, verse 5, and it was told the king that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants were turned against the people. And they said, why have you done this? Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt, and the captains over every one of them. Now, I used to read that, and I heard other people say that, you know, the 600 chariots. But it was more than 600 chariots. He was just saying, hey, the best went. The best the devil had came after him. The top 600 plus everyone else. All right? And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pi-Hiraoth, however how you say that, before that other Baal Zephon place. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore have you dealt thus with us, carrying us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell you in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. So these people still haven't learned to trust God, have they? If it hadn't been for Moses... And we know this. What do we know about this generation? None of them made it to the promised land, did they? No. All right. And so we might talk about that in a little bit also. But they said it had been better. Now, unfortunately, you know, if you're in things long enough, you find people that they become Christians and they get to believe. And it had been better if I never became a Christian. Look at this. I became a Christian. Here I am. I got the Red Sea in front of me and Pharaoh's and the devil chasing behind me. Amen. And so they're upset. They're afraid. Moses said to the people, verse 13, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. Whew, glory to God. Now remember who the Egyptians represent? All the oppression, all that held them in bondage up to that place that they'd been delivered from. That's who the Egyptians represent. Pharaoh's the devil in this story. And all the Egyptians, he said, you're going to see them no more for how long? Forever. Glory to God. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of Pharaoh, the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get my honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, whom I have gotten me honor, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went before them, before their face, and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. God's presence went. That angel, he said, is actually an angelic being that stood there in that cloud, went and stood. And to the children of Israel, it was light. But to the Egyptian army, it was darkness. And it kept them divided, the light from the darkness, all night long. Hallelujah. Kept them divided so they couldn't come. There was no sneak attack allowed. Glory to God. Why? Because the Lord is fighting for you. Amen. And it came to, and Moses, verse 21, stretched out his hand over the sea. And the Lord God caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Boy, that wind. You read anything in the New Testament about some wind blowing sometime? And they were all in one accord in one place. When suddenly, sound of a rushing mighty wind filled the place where they were seated. Hallelujah. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drove them heavily. Do you think? That's one of those statements in the Bible. Well, how else would a chariot drive without wheels? Well, it's going to drive pretty heavy. So that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon the chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. Now, what are these Egyptians? What do they represent? What are these chariots? What are these horses? What do these soldiers represent? All the bondage that God had delivered his people, the people of Israel, out of. They represent all those things. And the water covered over every sickness and every disease. And the water covered over every sin. The water covered over, hallelujah, every poverty, every lack. The water covered over every bondage that you had before you went through the sea with Jesus. Glory to God. Hey. Verse 29. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on their left. Thus says the Lord. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Now go with me to Hebrews chapter 3, please. Hallelujah. Jesus, the fulfillment, not the type, the real, the anti-type, if you will. But he is the real. He is the one that we look to now. He's the greater prophet. He's the prophet. He's greater, one greater than Moses. That came, glory to God. And all that happened to them is an example for us. Let's look here in Hebrews chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession or our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he has builded the house which with more honor than the house. And every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast with confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation and the day of temptation in the wilderness. See, after they passed through that, they didn't stay faithful to God. Yeah, they shouted. In fact, in the very next chapter, they sang. I mean, then Miriam, she had timbrels. They sang and they rejoiced all night. Very next day, they're traveling on. And they get to the place and they don't have any water and they're mad at God. Amen? And they murmured and they went through all these things. They even, when Moses went up to meet with God, they told Aaron, make us a God to take us back to Egypt. Take us back into our sin. Take us back into our sickness and disease. Take us back into our poverty and lack. Take us back in our bondage to the things of the world. But no, they come through the sea. Said, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their hearts and they have not known my ways. For I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. There's something there with that. Here just a couple weeks ago, one of our pastor friends, as we were ministering there, talked about how God had shown him. It's not only knowing the will of God, you have to know the way of God. Amen? He said they didn't know their way. The children of Israel didn't know God's ways. But they couldn't enter into that rest. Why? Because of unbelief. Look down here in verse 19. So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. Chapter 4. Let us therefore fear. Not fear, but here means have great. It means don't become indifferent. Let us have lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, what did God say? He said this to them, right? He said, look, these Egyptians you see today, all this you see today, you'll see them no more forever. And God delivered them from all their bondage. Yet they wandered in that wilderness and they didn't know. Thank God. We've been born again, right? Thank God for being born again. Hallelujah. But that's not the end of it. We've come through the sea, but there's a promised land to obtain. Not heaven. He's talking about here on the earth. When we walk in the promise that God has given us, that we would walk free and live free from the bondage of Satan. Live free from the bondage of sin. Live free from sin, from sickness and disease, to live free from poverty and lack, because we passed through the sea. He said, you'll see these no more. Yet they wandered in that wilderness. They continued. They would rebel against God. And God said, Moses, he actually one time said, Moses, stand over here. I'll start over with you alone. I'm going to wipe this whole bunch out. They're rebellious people. And Moses, who was in covenant with Almighty God, who God talked face to face with, told God, no, you won't. And there's an amazing scripture. The Bible said God repented of the evil he meant to do. Does that mean he changed his mind? Why? Because Moses changed his mind. Now, there was other times Moses said, God, wipe them out. They don't want to obey you. They kept passing. Moses would tell God, God, these people you brought out of Egypt. God would tell Moses, Moses, these people you led out of Egypt. But they didn't enter into the rest. They didn't enter in to the provision that had been made that God had already said belonged to them. Now, you remember when he told them, they decided to go out and spy the land, the promised land. And Moses chose 12 and sent them in. And two came back and said, let's go. God's given us the land. 10 came back and gave a bad report. And the Bible says the children of Israel wept in their tents that night. They cried. See, they had forgotten. They had forgotten that the greatest miracle they were ever going to see already took place. God brought them out of Egypt. The greatest miracle you're ever going to see place is you've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear son. You've been delivered from death unto life, from darkness unto light. That's the greatest miracle. And we don't think God is able to heal our bodies. We don't think God's able to meet our need. We don't think God's able to give us peace in our mind when he's already done that.
That's right.
Why didn't they enter in? Because of unbelief.
You didn't mix it with faith.
Exactly. You have to mix the word with faith.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
What God had said. You see, that there was a type when they came through, and what God said, he wasn't just saying words. He said, look, you're not going to see these anymore forever.
Come on.
That was God's intention.
Amen.
Well, when we read in the New Testament, by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. Does that mean just some of the time?
No.
Every time except for cold and flu season.
No.
Does it mean that? No. It means forever,
forever.
Healing is settled.
Right?
Well, God, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Does that mean if the economy's good?
No.
It means forever, right?
Yes.
God doesn't care because, you know, we think, you know, the United States wasn't even a country when God said that. So it doesn't matter which political party's in charge. Doesn't matter any place, whatever government. God said he would meet our needs according to his riches and glory.
Come on.
There's no recession in heaven.
That's right.
There's no downtimes in heaven. The market doesn't go up and down in heaven. It's stable.
Yes.
Amen.
What's the market in heaven? Abundance.
Yes.
Amen.
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 We've come through the sea. All that belongs to the bondage that we had before we came to Christ has been done away with forever. We can walk free. We can live in what he has done, because Jesus is the prophet.
Yes.
The prophet that God raised up. And if Moses brought them out of and through God by helping, I mean working with God, if God, what God did in Moses, Jesus, he did greater in Jesus.
Amen.
Have you ever thought about this? There in Hebrews it says we have a better covenant established on better promises.
Yes.
So the least, I mean, the best of the old covenant is the least of the new covenant. Amen. So no matter how good it got in the old, it doesn't even measure up to what's in the new. We have better promise, better, better. It's better. Hallelujah. God continually provided for them, did he not? I mean, he fed them manna. So much manna, they got sick of manna. Then he fed them quail. There's so much quail, they got sick of quail. They were never satisfied, never content with what they had, always complaining. And that generation did not get to enter into God's rest, into God's promise. Have you entered into God's rest? See, by believing, mixing. I left off there. They fell short of verse 2 of chapter Hebrews 4, 2. For unto us was this gospel preached. I read it, but as well as to them. But their word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. What is in that rest? That's where. Does that mean I'm sit down and do nothing? No. Faith is not doing nothing. Faith is taking God at his word and acting like it's true. And so I'm going to say the same thing God says. I'm going to say, if it says in his word, I'm going to say that about me. Amen? And I'm going to know God's way. I'm going to learn God's way. That's why I need to study the word of God. Not just see, some people think, well, just preachers, you study the word, then you tell me what it says. Absolutely not. Don't you believe anything because I say it. You better see it in the word of God. Paul said, I know in part and preach in part. Well, if Paul knew in part and preached in part, and half the New Testament was written by Paul, how many of you know that we know in part and see in part? We do have a little advantage over Paul in that we have what Peter said and we have what John said, right? We have those things that he didn't have. But if he said that, then it's true about us. Amen. But there is a rest left for us to enter into. Now we don't, and it's not obtained by works, because the work's already been done. We've already passed through the sea. The sea of what? The sea of belief into the new birth. That was a type of being delivered totally out of that bondage. Some people think crossing the Jordan is entering into the, crossing the Jordan is entering in and taking hold of the promises. Amen. It's not heaven, because how do you know there were still enemies there? New enemies. Glory to God. Now, in saying that, I'm not saying the devil won't ever try to harass you. I'm not saying he won't ever try to come at you, but he's defeated. Yes. Amen. Amen. See, Pharaoh could be dealt with. Pharaoh was mortal. He could be dealt with. You understand that? His reign was put to an end. Egypt's reign over Israel was put to an end. It's a type of what we've had from Satan. The only difference is Satan is an angelic being, and he's still around, and there's a lease on this earth. But there's coming a time when he's going to be put away forever. Amen. How many of you want to be there that day? I want to be there when that happens. I don't know how we're going to do it. We're all going to get front row seats. Except for Bob Uecker, he's way at the top. But that's another story. Some of you don't know who that is, but that's all right. Amen. We have entered into that rest. And so, you know, in looking at that, sometimes we need to understand that these things, they teach us. What do they teach us? Well, what did God say? Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Well, what does Ephesians 6 say? Having done all to stand, stand therefore. There's a part of faith that stands. But then God said, why are you sitting here talking to me? Tell the people to go forward. See, that was God's way. So now God's way was go. And when he held up the rod and they went, then the wind blew. Now, sometimes if you're waiting for the wind to blow, you're going to be waiting a long time. But as soon as they started taking that first step, Moses lifted up there, then the wind blew, see. Knowing God's way. Knowing God's way. Every one of us has the right to be led by the Spirit of God.
Yes.
Right? He will lead us. He will guide us. Praise the Lord. If you're a child of God, how many of you are children of God here? You're born again. You know you're a child of God. Right? Doesn't the Bible say that in Romans chapter 8? That we are, that His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If we're led by God, you are the children of God. See, God wants to lead you. Jesus, that's how Jesus ministered. He said, the Father shows me what I must do. He said, He shows me what I do, and then that's what I go do. And then He said, you're going to go do the works that I do. So we guess what? The Father has to show us too. He wants to talk to you. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. Amen? But there's a rest, place of living, where it's not a struggle. Faith is not a struggle. Faith is a rest in God. You got it, God. You've done it. Oh, I see in your word. I see in your word, by His stripes, I'm healed. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Whew. I'm healed. Thank you, Lord. Just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I'll just sit down here and just thank you, Lord. Just thank you. I'm healed. Thank you, Father God, that my body's well. Thank you, Father God, that every part of my body. Thank you, Father, that my digestive system. Thank you, Father, that the arteries and veins are clear. My heart is strong. My lungs are strong. My lymphatic system's working great. Everything, the top of my head, the soles of my feet, is functioning properly. Why? Because your healing power is working in me mightily. See, I'm not working. I'm resting. That's not a work. That's a rest. And you can tell. You get talking like that, you can't help. Your faith will run right up into your mouth and come out. Come up out of your heart. It'll connect with your words. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you tonight. We bless you, Father. Let your word rise up and live big. Just as Moses, Father God, led the children of Israel out of bondage to Egypt, you've led us by Jesus Christ out of bondage to this world. We're no longer under Satan's control. We're no longer under the control of our oppressors, sickness and disease, sin, poverty and lack, spiritual death. We're no longer under those oppressors. We're free in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you. Hallelujah. That is, as you lead us and you guide us, we enter into that rest as we obey you and do and to say what you say and to do what you do. Thank you, Father God, that rest is there. That place of faith, that place of letting the work be finished, that place of salvation by grace through faith, that place, hallelujah, hallelujah, where Jesus is our all in all, and he has finished the work, and we walk in it, and we're free to tell, and free to go, and free to share the message of the gospel. That our God is a delivering God. That our God has set you free. Be reconciled to God. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for it tonight. We praise you tonight, Father. We give you honor and we give you glory. Blessed be your holy name. Blessed be your holy name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you've been having symptoms in your body, I want you to stand right where you are right now. You've been having symptoms, sickness, and anything in your body right now. I just want you to stand right where you are. Anybody that's been having symptoms, just go ahead and stand right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, it's interesting, you know, there's many ways, isn't there, to obtain healing. Many ways to minister to those who need healing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so, as you do it, you always want to do it the way God says to do it. Praise the Lord. Amen. And this is what I'm hearing the Lord say tonight, all right, that life, the life of God, the healing power of God, the anointing of God, if you're a Christian, it is in you. Amen. It's working in you. But for some, the switch of faith hasn't been turned on. For some, you haven't let it work. For some, you just haven't known, and that's okay. But tonight, after hearing what you've heard, that you've come through the sea, and that the oppression, the bondage of the world, that sickness and disease, you shall know no more forever. That by Jesus' stripes, you were, so, and if you were, then you are healed right now. Right now, that healing power of God is working in your body. Right now, it's at work. It's moving in you. It's working in you. It's flowing in you, affecting a healing and a cure. Right now, it's working. Hallelujah. It's working. It's working. It's working in you. Hallelujah. Some of you, do what you couldn't do before. If you had pain, do what you couldn't do. Start moving around if it was that. Start moving and do what you couldn't do before. Let that power work. It's working in you. That healing power is working in you. Hallelujah. 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 Tim, what are you dealing with? What's going on? Sinus infection. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's lift your hands up to the Lord. Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Take a deep breath, Tim. That healing power working in him. That healing power. Ha ha. Ha ha. Take another one. Just ha ha. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That life, that power is working in your sinuses, working in all, in your lungs, all congestion has to go in Jesus' name. Has to go. Why? Because that life's in you, that healing power. Hallelujah. Just take another deep breath, Tim. Just take another deep breath. Hallelujah. Ha ha. Hallelujah. Now that's better than it was before. See? Amen. See, just keep, that power's working. That power's working. Glory to God. That power's working. See, you're a Christian. It's okay if you have hands laid. There's nothing wrong with that. But you don't have to. Sometimes you don't have anybody there to pray with. You learn how to receive this by yourself. That power's in you now. Well, it's working in you now. It works just as well at church, at home, as it does in church. It works while you're driving in your car. It's working in you, glory to God, while you're on your job. It's working in you, glory to God. Working in you. Working in you. Hallelujah. Working in that lower back right now. It's working in that back right now. In fact, working. Yeah, down that left side, you've been having pain. And you hear people, well, you know, that's my sciatic. No, glory to God, it's your healing, not your sciatic nerve pain. It's your healing. It's the healing power of God working in there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just right where you are right now. If you're standing there right now, just lift your hands. Father, you see these hands. In them, in each one of these, they're children of God. We're your children, Father. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over every sickness, over every disease, over every infirmity that is hindering them right now. And in the name of Jesus, speak healing to them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Say, well, you talked to Tim, how come you didn't come talk to me? He didn't tell me to. But the same thing that happened with Tim happened with you. See, God's no respecter of person. That life's working in you. Tim didn't get one type of life and you get a different. You got the life of God in you. You got the healing power of God in you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 I think the rest of us all stand up and praise God with them. Stand up and praise God that your brother and sisters are getting healed right now. That the healing's working in them now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Ha ha. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now, some might say, well, you think I ought to go to the doctor, brother? Well, if you think that, then you go. The doctor's going to tell you facts. Apply the truth to it that by Jesus' stripes you're healed. It doesn't hurt to go to the doctor necessarily. If you're thinking that, you know, then I wouldn't tell you not to go, okay? If you think you need to, but what you're going to put your faith in? What are you going to put your eternal hope in? Trust in God's word or medicine that just treats symptoms? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now, some of you, you realize that power is working in you. Keep the switch of faith turned on. Keep thanking God. Keep talking healing in your body. Keep talking it. Keep confessing it, saying it. Why do you confess it? Not to get it, but just to agree with God. You're just thanking God for it. With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God because he believed what God had promised. He was able also to perform. But it's not a promise of healing. It's by his stripes you are healed. It's not promised to you. It belongs to you. Glory to God. And that power is working in you right now. Amen, amen, amen. Well, if you'd be seated again, hallelujah. We got to take care of a couple. Ha-ha. Oh, and it is going to become evident. It is going to become evident. But it's yours right now. And don't say I'm waiting for the manifestation, because then you put it off in the future. But it's yours now. The healing is yours now. Don't ask your body how it feels. You tell it how to feel. Don't ask and check and say, well, the pain's still there. I guess I'm not healed. No, you're healed in the name of Jesus. And your body must obey. You have authority. I've given it to you, says the Lord. Through my conquest, use that name of Jesus that's above every name, that at that name every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is healer, that Jesus is deliverer, to the glory of God. Ha, every name, every name, every name is under the name of Jesus. And so keep your mouth and your tongue hooked up with your faith and hooked up with the word of God, and speak that word forth. Speak that word forth. And for many of you, you won't even notice that the pain's already gone. You won't even notice. You're just going on thanking God. Because it doesn't matter to you. You've received your healing. It's done right now. It's already accomplished. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Well, I was going to do some business there, and that just came up out of my spirit. Is that all right? I guess it is. Okay. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, before we go tonight, we want to give everybody an opportunity to continue to give towards our pastor's Christmas gift. With them not here tonight, we can receive this offering. So if you prepare yourself, if you want to give towards that, you can mark on your envelope Christmas gift. You can text to give to 28950, put Hagen space in the amount in that. But up until that time, I believe, Pastor Bill, we set a Sunday, the extravaganza Sunday, the 16th. Okay, up until that time, you can be giving. So if you want to do that, please take part in that. But we're going to go ahead and pass the buckets again tonight. So if our ushers would get ready, if you want to get in there, you know, get in your pocket, get out some extra, put something in there, sow some seed. We love our pastors, and we love blessing them. And you don't get to see it, but they literally are, it makes them weep when they receive that. And it's just so blessed. And, you know, our pastors are, they're not just our pastors, but they're pastors to people all over the world. And so, hey, if you're watching right now and you want to give, you can text to give, or you can put in the offering there on the place there. And we'd like you to be a part too. I know they're such a blessing to you. All right. All right. You ready? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for Pastor and Mrs. Hagen. Thank you for the giftings and the calling on their life. Thank you, Father God, that you've given them unto us to lead us as they follow you, Father. Father, and we thank you for this offering. We thank you for the blessings that are upon them and the blessings that are upon us. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you go ahead, ushers, and receive that. Let's go ahead and stay still while they're doing that. That way they can receive that offering unhindered. And when they're ready for that, when they're finished, then we'll ask our connection team to get our first-time guests. And then after that, we'll dismiss. And with that, and at the time that we dismiss, our prayer team's going to be down here. And if you need prayer for anything tonight, you want someone to agree with you according to the word of God, then you come on down. The men will be on my left. The ladies on my right. Ladies, come to the ladies. Men to the men. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.